There's something you should know about Imam Ali. Now we know that the Holy Prophet Muhammad was the final messenger and prophet of God who completed the message of Islam. But would the Holy Prophet have left this world without directly appointing a successor? On the 18th of Dhul-Hijjah, after completing his last pilgrimage, the Holy Prophet was leaving Mecca towards Medina, where he and a crowd of Muslims who had accepted Islam reached a place called Ghadir-e-Khum. According to some sources, there were 120,000 companions, Arabs and residents who were present during this event. These people had accepted the Holy Prophet as the final messenger of God, they prayed, they fasted, they did all the things that had been commanded to them and were returning from the Hajj pilgrimage. And yet at this point, the following verse of the Holy Quran was revealed. O Apostle, deliver what has been sent down to you from your Lord, and if you don't do it, you have not delivered his message at all, and Allah will protect you from the people. And there are numerous Sunni and Shia sources which confirm that this verse was indeed revealed at Ghadir-e-Khum. Now, the question is, what is it that Allah revealed to the Holy Prophet at this point? What was this thing that was so important that if the Holy Prophet did not convey it to the people, it was as if he had not delivered the message at all? It was extremely hot. And yet, upon receiving this momentous verse of the Holy Quran, the Holy Prophet stopped in his tracks in the middle of the Ghadir-e-Khum. There were some Muslims who had fallen too far behind. He asked them to catch up. There were some Muslims who had gone too far ahead. He asked them to come back. And then he asked for a makeshift platform to be built from rocks and camel toolings. And then he addressed the thronging crowds of the Muslims. He told the people that he would soon leave this material world and said, I am leaving for you two precious things, and if you adhere to them both, you will never go astray after me. They are the Book of Allah and my progeny, that is my Ahlul Bayt. Then he said, do I not have more right over the believers than they have over themselves? People cried and answered, yes, O Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet held up the hand of Ali and said, for whomsoever I am the Mawla, this Ali he is also the Mawla. The variations of this hadith can be found in way too many sources, both Sunni and Shia. And it was precisely at this moment that this part of the Holy Quran was revealed. This day have I perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you, and have approved for you Islam as religion. And here are just some of the Sunni references which clarify that the revelation of this particular part of the Holy Quran was indeed at Ghadir-e-Khum. Now, it should be absolutely clear from the event of Ghadir-e-Khum that the Holy Prophet did indeed leave a successor. But some argue the contrary. For example, when the Holy Prophet said, for whomsoever I am the Mawla, this Ali is also his Mawla, some argue that the word Mawla does not mean master or leader, but rather it means friend. And this doesn't make sense. Why would the Holy Prophet stop in the middle of the desert, gather over 100,000 people, build a makeshift pulpit, announce that he's about to die, and then say, you know this Ali, he's my friend? When everyone already knew that Imam Ali had already received the title of the brother of the Holy Prophet, and that the Prophet had already stated to love Ali is belief and to hate Ali is hypocrisy. Everyone already knew that Ali was a great friend, so why was it so vital for the Holy Prophet to announce with such emphasis at Ghadir-e-Khum that for whomsoever the Holy Prophet is a Mawla, Ali is also their Mawla? Could Mawla really mean a mutual acquaintance, or does it mean something more? The word Mawla from Wali and Wilaya all indicate master, guardianship, leadership. Dictionaries give a minimum of 20 meanings for the Arabic word wali. Depending on context, most have to do with the position of leadership and guardianship. Only in one instance, it could mean a friend. The verse revealed before the speech states, O Apostle, deliver what has been sent down to you from your Lord. And if you don't, you have not delivered his message at all. It was vital for the Holy Prophet to announce what he announced. The entire message of Islam hinged on that final announcement. Could that really mean that the entirety of the message of Islam is to take Imam Ali as your buddy? The verse also indicates that the announcement would warrant enmity because it says, and Allah will protect you from the people. If the Holy Prophet was simply announcing friendship, why would that make people want to harm him? Why would that make Allah say, don't worry, I'll protect you from the people? What people? Well, people who have a problem with the authority lying in the hands of Imam Ali. For example, Harith ibn Nu'man came and said, you commanded us to testify that there is no deity but Allah and that you are the messenger of Allah. We obeyed you. You ordered us to perform the prayers 5 times a day and we obeyed. You ordered us to observe fasts during the month of Ramadan and we obeyed. Then you commanded us to offer pilgrimage to Mecca and we obeyed. But you are not satisfied with all this and you raised your cousin by your hand and imposed him upon us as our master by saying Ali is the Mawla of whom I am the Mawla. Is this imposition from Allah or from you? The Holy Prophet replied, this is from Allah, mighty and the glorious. Harith was so full of envy for Imam Ali that he cried out, oh Allah, if what Muhammad said is correct, then fling on us a stone from the sky and subject us to severe pain and torture. And according to the hadith, Allah sent a stone which struck Harith on the head and left him dead at that very moment. At which point the verse of the Holy Quran was revealed. A questioner questioned about the punishment to fall. For the disbelievers, there is nothing to avert it from Allah, the Lord of the Ascent. Furthermore, there were many renowned individuals at Ghadir-e-Khum who came to give the oath of allegiance to Imam Ali. For example, the first Khalif Abu Bakr said, well done, Ibn Abi Talib. Today you became the leader, Mawla of all believing men and women. If Mawla indeed meant friend, why would Abu Bakr come to Imam Ali and say, today you have become the Mawla? Was Imam Ali not already a friend? Had he previously been an enemy? Let's take a look at how the word Mawla and its derivatives are used in the Holy Quran. Allah is the Wali of those who believe. He brings them out of darkness and takes them into light. Would you translate this as friend? And even if it is translated as friend, is it the kind of friend that you sit and have tea with? Or is it the kind of friend who is the leading, kind of guardian type of friend? The kind of friend that has authority over you? Another verse which should make it absolutely clear is, only Allah is your wali and his messenger and those among the believers who establish prayer and give charity while they bow. If we take the word wali here to mean friend, then that would mean that only Allah and the Holy Prophet, etc. are your friends. Which doesn't make sense because it's perfectly normal for believing Muslims to have plenty of friends and acquaintances, not just one, two, or three. But if we take the word wali to mean authority, then it makes perfect sense. Because only Allah has authority over the believers, then the Holy Prophet, then those who believe, who establish prayer and give charity while they bow. And in regards to this particular verse, Muslim scholars are unanimous that the third category, i.e. those who give charity while they bow, refers specifically to Imam Ali himself, who literally gave away his ring while in the state of ruku', bowing. Wilaya, or divine authority, is something which comes directly from Allah to the Holy Prophet, down to Imam Ali, and it is this divine authority which ought to be obeyed. Nothing and no one comes before it or above it. The Holy Quran states, the Prophet has a greater priority, authority, awla, over the believers than what they have over themselves. The Holy Quran states, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those with authority among you. Authority over the believers has always come directly from Allah through the Prophets until it came to the final Messenger. And after this as well, there always has to be an authority on earth for the guidance and well-being of the pure message of Islam, to prevent the message from being changed and to guide human beings to the right path up until the Day of Judgment and implement the law of Allah on this planet Earth. No one has the authority to come and say, I will be the guardian of Islam, I will lead the Muslims, going against the divinely appointed wali. That's why, according to the Shia school of thought, any leadership which does not get its authority from Allah is not a legitimate or divine authority. In the lifetime of the Holy Prophet, this divine authority belongs to the Holy Prophet himself, and after the Holy Prophet, it belongs to the infallible imams. In fact, even a prophet of God does not have the authority to appoint a successor of his own without the permission of Allah. That's why the Holy Quran shows us that Musa prayed to Allah saying, and my brother Harun, he is more eloquent in speech than I, so send him with me as a helper to confirm and strengthen me. And Allah responds by saying, we will strengthen your arm with your brother. Allah is the one who chooses prophets and Allah is the one who chooses their successors. And the Holy Quran further emphasizes this point when Musa prays to Allah saying, and give me a helper from my family, Harun, my brother. Musa could only pray for something. In the end, Allah is the one who decides who has that divine authority. And Harun was from Musa's family. He was Musa's brother. Now it makes sense why the Holy Prophet said to Imam Ali, you are to me like Harun is to Moses, except there will be no prophet after me. And this is repeated throughout the Ahadith books again and again and again. Just as the Holy Quran describes the successorship of Harun to Musa, Ali is the successor of the Holy Prophet, except Ali is not a prophet. There is no prophet after Muhammad. But the authority of Allah on earth is still there. Harun would represent Musa whenever Musa went away. The Holy Quran testifies that. And Musa had charged his brother Harun before he went up into the mountain, "Succeed me amongst my people, do right and follow not the way of those who do mischief." Musa left his people for a mere 40 days, and yet he does not leave his people without a divine authority. How could we even imagine that the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself would leave this world and not leave a representative? No, in the same way that the Prophet Musa was succeeded by someone in his own family, the Holy Prophet Muhammad was also succeeded by someone from his own family. And this has been the case from the very beginning. Surely Allah chose Adam and Nuh and the descendants of Ibrahim and the descendants of Imran above the nations, offspring one of the other, and Allah is hearing, knowing. This line of authority which is chosen by Allah does not end with the Holy Prophet, but rather it continues until the Day of Judgment. This is what makes the event of Ghadir so significant. It ensured that even after the Holy Prophet leaves this world, the message will continue. And the Holy Quran states, "Then we gave the book for an inheritance to those whom we chose from among our servants." Even if the Holy Prophet dies, the legacy of Islam will continue through the successors of the Holy Prophet. The Holy Quran also states, "Muhammad is not but a messenger. Other messengers have passed on before him. So if he was to die or be killed, would you turn back on your heels to unbelief?" Do you think it ends with the Holy Prophet? No, the struggle between good and evil continues, and both good and evil have their leaders. One is divinely appointed and one is not. That's why Sahih Bukhari narrates that the Holy Prophet said that there will be 12 princes after him, all from Quraysh. That's why Sahih Muslim narrates that the Holy Prophet said that Islam will be fortified through 12 successors after him, all from Quraysh. Is it a coincidence that after Imam Ali, there were 11 successive imams, leaders, authorities, walis, who were all divinely appointed by their predecessor, by the authority of Allah, one after the other? Is it a coincidence that these 12, including Imam Ali, were all from the tribe of Quraysh? Is it astonishing that we are waiting for the return of the 12th of these successors, the true authority of Allah on earth, and that this 12th Imam, who will establish justice on earth, is indeed the Mahdi? Does it now make sense why it is reported in both Sunni and Shia sources that the Mahdi is specifically from the family of the Holy Prophet? The Holy Prophet is reported to have said, "The world will not come to an end until a man from my family, who will be called Al-Mahdi, emerges to rule upon my community." He said, "Anyone who denies Al-Qa'im Al-Mahdi among my children will have denied me." He said, "The world will not come to pass until a man from among my family, whose name will be my name, rules over the Arabs." And he said, "Even if there remains only a day on earth, God will bring forth a man from my progeny, so that he will fill the earth with justice and equity, as it is filled with tyranny." So now that we've understood that wilaya, or divine authority, belongs only to Allah, and then the prophets and messengers, and then the infallible imams, where does Wilayatul Faqih come into this? The Wali al-Faqih is neither a prophet or an infallible imam. And yet, Imam Khomeini says, "The Wilayatul Faqih is the very same wilaya of the prophet." And that's something we'll discuss another time. Remember, we have to rise above this whole I'm Sunni, I'm Shia business and just look at the facts with an open mind. And Allah guides whom He pleases. Don't forget to share.